This is Mahalini's Voices of the Soul, your journey to inspiration, connection, and transformation. I'm Jane Mahalini Haridats, your guide through stories of remarkable people from all over the world who are ready to tell their life story to uplift and elevate your journey. Let's begin this magical journey right now. If we meet someone, often we know more about their work and achievements and very impressive titles sometimes than who this person really is. And today we want to uncover the soul behind the success, the personal stories and the driving forces that have shaped our guests to become what they are today. Today we want to listen to their soul and inspire you with all the insights that they will provide you. Welcome to Mahalini's Voices of the Soul. I'm Jane Mahalini Haridats. I'm a multidimensional medium and a teacher and healer on sacred sexuality and soul embodiments. I'm the writer of the book, Make Peace with Your Origin. And in Mahalini's Voices of the Soul, we aim to delve into the heart and soul of our remarkable guests. And today we are thrilled and privileged to have Nida Syed from the UK. She has many surprises for us today. And we are going to explore her journey behind her remarkable successes, many successes and impressive titles. Today she has the floor in our podcast to share her touching soul story with the world to provide you a more holistic picture of herself, to get even more inspired by her personality, her work, and what she is offering to the world. And it is so beautiful to mention again that I met Nida in the Global Magazine community of Brains Magazine, where we both are authors and we both are providing with beautiful articles and podcasts and so much more. And a few months ago, Nida invited me to her own podcast, where I was given the space to do a mother wound healing. And it is such an important topic to deal, you know, to talk about, because I'm really convinced that most of us are still, you know, we are going through challenges and hurdles caused by the mother wounds. And we also talked about sacred sexuality and also about how I overcame my sexual abuse background. And I'm very grateful to Nida Syed that she gave me the floor in her own podcast, because I believe that these topics that we have been talking about, they are very important to share with the world. So welcome. Welcome, Nida Syed. Great to have you here as my guest on my own podcast.
Thank you very much. And I'm super excited to share my story, share my experiences, because I'm always talking about, you know, things that people need to know, mental health related, psychology, different modalities, but I never really share my story. So when you talked about, you know, what you're doing and you wanted to invite me, I was just thrilled, because I was like, hey, this could be a good beginning to share my side of story, you know, share my experiences, because I believe people learn more from other people's experiences than just by reading books.
Oh yes, and you know, and just by reading and just by following a lot of methods,
yeah,
all the tools, it is so very important just to know the person who had designed, shaped those tools.
Definitely.
Okay. But before we dive further into your soul and your heart stories, I would like to share with the world what you would like to know, what you want them to know about you. But before that, I have a surprise for you, a surprising question.
Okay.
Do you by chance know what your name means?
Calling.
Calling, yes. Okay. Yeah. Nida is calling.
Calling, and also, it also means voice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I know.
Yeah, you know, I did and see it.
So yeah, is actually my family name.
Yes.
I belong to a very how to put it in simple words. So basically, the son-in-law of our holy prophet, he is my ancestor. So we as Sayyid are from his bloodline. So that's what I know.
That's beautiful because that is also what I found Googling, you know. I went surfing on internet and I was looking for the explanation of your name. And it is also what is so beautiful, the call to prayer, Nida. The call to prayer. But oh my God, this is so beautiful. It matches with the topic that we are going to talk about today, you know. And it's a feminine name. It's a feminine name. And Siyet is the masculine name. So what is so beautiful, Nida, is just to see that in your name, and of course our parents has they are doing a great job by choosing the right names for us. It is the female and the male part, the male and the feminine energies are being brought together in the names.
And I have to say something. For a very long period of time, I've been working from a very masculine side. And as I have shared some things with you, you might have already noticed why. So I never could really connect with my name, Nida, but I always connected with my family name, Sayed. And I always love that. I could so connect. And now that you're saying this, it makes so much sense why I was more connected to my surname than to my birth name.
You know, and it is so beautiful. When I was a small child, just to share a bit of my own personal story, when I was a small child, then my father told us when I asked him, what does our name mean? Because I truly believe that there is a certain power in our names, you
Definitely.
know, the first name and also the last name. So, and he said, my name is Haridat, and in the Hindi way pronounced as Haridat, and Haridat means given by Hari, and which is Lord Vishnu. And Vishnu is, yes, Lord Vishnu is the god of preservation, and so that means given, and Hari is Lord Vishnu, and he is also the god of creation, which is the female energy, and he is also the god of destruction, which is the male energy. And it's so it is so special just to know that today I'm working on sexuality, which is about creation, bringing the female and the male energies together.
That's
It is meant to be, right?
exactly. That's what I always think about names. Parents believe that they have chosen specific names, but I have this belief that souls have already decided who they're going to be. So the name is always linked to the soul.
And the soul purpose.
Exactly, the soul purpose.
Just we are examples of it, right? This is soul
Oh
purpose.
my gosh, yes.
And you are using Neda is the is that the Neda or Nida? How do you pronounce your name well?
It's Nida.
Neda. Okay. So Neda, so and you are using your voice, your call, your sounds to help others with your mental health care and all the things that you are doing, which I'm going to share shortly about. And you know, the call to prayer, and I guess that you're using your Muslim background, not only private, but also in your work. But I would like to know more about it. Okay. So yeah, so before we dive further into your soul and heart stories, I'm just going to share with the world and take them into your kitchen, into your worlds. Nida is a mental health therapist specializing in CAM, transformational coaching, clinical hypnotherapy, NLP, EMDR, NNRT, and life coaching. She holds degrees in psychology and is pursuing a Silva Life System certification, soon to become a Silva trainer. And additionally, she is a Reiki master practitioner. Originally aiming to become a clinical psychologist, she realized the need for a more versatile approach. Rather than solely focusing on one discipline, she opted to master multiple modalities to cater to diverse individual needs efficiently. Based in Manchester, right? Manchester since 2020, she transitioned virtual sessions to provide global access to her services, acknowledging the unique requirements of each client. And she worked as a medical assistant, did modeling work, became a makeup artist and a hairstylist. And she really took every opportunity to pay her expensive study at the university, the private university. That's the dedication you had, right? Just to achieve your goal.
100%, 100%. Yeah.
So when I invited Neda to my podcast, she really surprised me by answering me in Dutch.
I do remember that call.
Okay, all the time you were talking English, and now you're
Yeah.
answering me in Dutch. So officially you were born in the Netherlands.
Yes, I'm born
Yes.
in Netherlands in Lelystad.
Yes.
And I've done my studies here, went to Pakistan for 4 years, did some of my studies there, came back from Pakistan to the Netherlands. Then there was this struggle because, there is a difference in educational system. Even though in Pakistan I was studying more the education system there, it was a very expensive school there, and their education system was a British. So when I came back, as you might already know, UK education system is different, completely different. It's all about passing the GCSEs. So when I moved back to the Netherlands, again, my Dutch was good, but with math, they were like, we are not sure because you came just back. And then at some point I passed maths as well, but then it was like, no, but we have this rule that when you come back from another country, you have to do these extra
I
classes on
know.
top of, whatever you're doing. So even though you speak fluently Dutch, sorry, we can't do anything. And that did hit me hard, because there in Pakistan, I was trying to prove myself. I came in Netherlands and now I have to prove myself again. So yeah, I've done some of my studies here and then completed my mastery in UK.
Okay. So you completed your master in the UK, and
Yeah.
it is, I know how it works. It is crazy. In former work that I did many years
Yeah.
ago, people who were a surgeon in their own country,
Yeah.
they had to get educated here in the
Yeah.
Netherlands again, and just it is crazy, but it is doing a lot with your self-esteem.
Yeah.
It is,
Yeah.
right? So
Definitely. And also when I moved in 2019, when I moved to the UK, then UK had issues with some of my certifications that I had from here. So some
yes.
of the things I had to restart doing again, but I was like, you know what? I have got the skills within me. I have proven myself so many times. I'm just going to do it again. I'm not going to let a country's rules tell me to just sit down and adjust,
So that is
So,
very powerful what you're saying. You don't want to let countries' rules, just to let you down, because
yeah.
you're persevering, you're continuing. And what did it in the first place did with your self-esteem? What did it do with your self-esteem,
Whoa, you mean back then?
Yeah, all the time, all the things, you're going from here to Pakistan, returning from Pakistan here, going to the
Yeah.
UK, and it's all about the titles, all about the certificates,
Yes.
So it is
Yes.
combined. Your self-esteem is come is it is matched
Yeah.
equal to the certificate.
Yeah. So up until 2008, every time I felt my grandma was there to tell me, you know what? It's just an experience. Stand up. But I was codependent. I was a child, I was 17, almost 18. When she passed away, after that, every downfall was very hard. It shattered my self-esteem. And when I say shattered, I was just proving myself to my family. And I'm not talking about my parents because my parents were always always there to support me. But I come from a South Asian culture in which everybody thinks they have a license to interrupt with everything.
Oh, I recognize that. I recognize.
So they have the authority, they have the license to interrupt with everything you're doing. So I was continually under pressure. I was continually judged because every soul has its her own journey. We have been through a lot. So I couldn't follow the straight path to a degree. It was a bumpy road. But honestly, Jane, when my grandma passed away, my life stopped. The only thing I knew, it shattered my self-esteem, but the only thing I knew is she told me to never give up. She told me to stand up. So I have to keep on fighting. But that doesn't mean that it was easy. Yeah.
And no, the way you're sharing your story, just listening to your story, I recognize a lot of my own story in it too. Coming from a
Yeah.
South Asia culture, I know.
Yeah.
It is beautifully expressed what you're saying. It is as if everybody has a license
Yeah. Yeah.
to fill in how you should behave, how you should talk, and
Exactly.
judge and all these kind of things. And it's but on
Yeah.
the other hand, with the positive side of it, what is the positive side of it? What did it do with your self-esteem?
You
On
know,
one hand, you have all the
yeah.
pressure, but I
Yeah.
imagine that that did something with you.
Yeah, that made me today the person I am. I know exactly what I want. And I know, failure, if I fail in a project, if I fail doing something, for me, that's just an experience. I'm no more afraid of failure. I'm not afraid of being judged. I'm not afraid of what people think of me. I am free. That's what it did to me.
Yes, that's
Yeah.
so very important, Neda. Just to know that even when the challenges, they are not gone, the challenges
Yeah.
are there, but it is the way you're dealing with it, right?
Definitely.
And
Yeah.
do you have for my case, it is I can write 20 books about on
Yeah.
breaking through my own culture, and I don't judge. It is a lesson. It is my soul.
Yeah.
It's the way I consider it. And was that also can you say about yourself that you managed just to break through your own culture?
100%. I'm still doing that. I mean, I'm 33 and I'm single.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Sin of God. Eh? Nobody wants you. Nobody wants you. Oh come. Yes. Your arrogance
Yeah.
and all these kind of judgments, of course.
Yes. Yes. I've been labeled as rebellious. But again, as I said, my parents were first, they were always supportive. First, they used to be pressurized by family, by culture, but now my parents see me shining. You know, my parents can see how far I have come. So somehow, in a way, my parents have been adaptive to it as well. And they have seen, and I'm honestly, truly, I feel so blessed that the universe has given me the opportunity to help them change their perspective. It's not always just about completing your education, getting married, and then staying in a toxic relationship.
Oh yeah, and I'm happy that you're that you have parents. I had the same parents too, even when it was very hard and people were judging and all these kind of things,
Yeah.
I managed. They never I never had an arranged marriage. I
Yeah.
married to a African Afro-Suriname man.
Yeah.
And it's which is also something that it's for a lot of people not done because you can't
Yeah.
marry
We are born to
someone from
stand
your
out.
own culture, We can laugh about it because this is we recognize what's happening, what we are
Yeah.
talking about, right? And I
Exactly.
have
But
two, sorry.
Jane, I have to say, we don't do this purposely. It just happens. Everything
Yeah,
just
but it's the calling from our soul.
Yeah.
That's why you have to be rebellious.
Yes, and you know, I used to be when I was 19, 20, up until 22, I was like, why can't I just fit in? Why can't I be just like, every other girl, where every other South Asian girl just fitting in and just not standing out? Because I used to be a very quiet personality as a child. I used to listen to my parents and I was always very quiet.
Yeah.
So there were even moments that even I was like, what's wrong with me? Why am I doing all of this?
Oh yeah. You know, because I think that maybe you recognize it, it might be also because we want to fit in just to belong, have the feeling of being part of a community, which is a human need. But on the other, yeah, but on
But at the same time, Jane, I don't know whether you experienced this, but for me, even if I try, I start feeling very restless
yes, me
and
too.
I have to leave immediately. And sometimes even my mom is like, why can't you just pretend to, just enjoy a conversation, just be a part? Because I just can't. When I notice there is too much toxic conversation here, or these people are just too much into judging others, I have to walk away. I can't sit there. It makes me restless.
I totally agree. I totally agree and recognize. That's why, that's why it is, and you're working on mental health care, and then that it's so very important just to choose now. And unfortunately, we are becoming aware, we are aware that if we don't choose to be in company of people who are not toxic, who are help uplift you, and instead of bringing you down with the negative energies. And of course we have our negative energies too, but it makes it, at least me, and I truly believe you too, it makes us conscious, more conscious
Yes, definitely.
about the company we want to be with.
Yeah, definitely.
And because we have to take care of your own energy. Otherwise, we are doing a lot of beautiful work, helping people, and it's sometimes draining your energies, and then you have to take care of yourself.
It is heavy work.
Yeah,
The stories that people share, and often people forget that the stories we hear, they stay with us.
Yes.
We have to make sure that we, just distance ourselves, and we have to cleanse our own energy to be able to move on.
Cleansing energy is very important, right? Otherwise, all those personal stories, because story is this is it is energy, everything is energy. So just talking about, I know that you are, at least that is my impression, you are a devoted Muslim woman, right? Yeah, so very powerful. Yes, you are. Yes, that's I like to hear that. Okay. So can you, I was curious while preparing for this podcast, did you have a moment that you became aware that it was your inner choice to be a Muslim, and not because you were born in the tradition? What?
So as I said, Imam Ali is my ancestor, and for me, he has been always my father figure. Especially when I was sent to Pakistan to know the culture, my dad was here in Netherlands. He was in Netherlands, and I used to miss my dad, but I never used to tell my dad that I miss him. So then I started calling Imam Ali, and I used to call him dad, and I used to communicate with him. And then the bond became stronger and stronger, and I started reading about his stories. I delved deeper into the history. Then obviously you've got in Islam different groups as well. But my dad was always, you know what? We have to respect others. These groups exist, and I've always been understanding towards all the other groups. I've never judged you're better than me, I'm better than you. I've never been like that. And on top of that, the more I was connecting with Imam Ali, the more I started understanding his personality, the more he became my role model, the more I delved into Islam. I pray five times. I do not wear hijab because for me, hijab is not just covering your head, but it's a responsibility.
So
And
hijab, just to explain for the people who don't know, that's the headscarf, right?
Exactly. Yes. And this year, when I told you I went to Iraq and I went to the Holy Shrine of Imam Ali, and it was for me as if a child meets her dad. It was a beautiful experience. And Jane, it was the first time that I was wearing, it's called Irani Chadar, from head to toe. I was covered. I had no makeup on, and my confidence level was 100%. I felt connected. I felt blessed because I always knew it was my childhood dream to visit the holy shrines, to go to Iraq. And it was such a magical experience. And when I wear that chadar from head to toe, I just knew at some point in my life, I am going to take the responsibility and I'm going to wear it because I loved it. I definitely loved it.
You know, there is something that I feel. It feels like not wearing makeup. You know, it is wearing, how do you call it? The I forgot the name.
Hijab,
No, it's,
Irani chadar.
yeah, okay. So
Yeah.
you can pronounce it better than I do. So people will know that we're talking about. And
Yeah.
it's covered from head to toe. It gives me the impression, Aneda, that you know that. Because you're covered from head till toe, that the perspective it's the side, it is more going inwards instead
Yes.
of being focused on what people think about you,
Yeah.
about the
Yeah.
makeup and outer
Yeah.
and outer appearance, right?
And I have to say, Jane, from the
I'm
moment
sorry,
I,
sorry, just to
yeah.
finish it, I can imagine, because that's a strong feeling that I'm getting right now, and I can imagine that people are happy being covered totally and not
Yeah.
focus on other things. And that is something that maybe is very important just to explain it very explicitly right now. That's the
Yeah.
reason I'm saying, because many people are judging,
Yeah.
are making jokes about it, you know, and think that
Yeah.
women are being suppressed. And of course
Yeah.
there will be women who are being suppressed because the tradition requires it, you know.
Yeah.
But there are many women that I also know that's it's their inner choice.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know, Jane, when I came back, one thing that I told my mom, I was like, "Mom, I never knew that I had so much power within me, and I never knew that I've got so much confidence." It just was magical, magical. And again, for me, as I said, it's just not the right time because for me, I feel, there comes a responsibility. And if I want to start following the Sharia properly, I do have my boundaries. But if I want to, follow it properly by wearing the chadar from top to toe, from head to toe, for me, it's important then to give it my 100%.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah.
And you know, and if you look in some, I don't know how it is in the UK, but I know here in the Netherlands, you know, this headscarf and all, you know, there are a lot of things that they are putting a limit on.
Yeah.
It is forbidden. It is not allowed just to wear it. Otherwise, you're not getting a job and all these kind of things. It
Yeah.
might become more extreme right now, you know,
Yeah.
government that we are getting.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I can imagine that it's still, even you know, in the practical situation in the daily life, that even when you know that the value of you wearing it, you know, that
Yeah.
what it did with you in your heart and soul, and it made you so confident because the perspective was here inwards instead
Yeah. Yeah.
or outside, you know. And it's a beautiful symbol.
Yeah.
I'm so excited that right now, while we are talking, that this become very clear to me too. So thank you so much
Yeah.
for sharing your experience, because this is a gift for me too. You know,
Yeah.
just to know that it is that's a deeper meaning.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a deeper meaning of the headscarf. It's a deeper meaning of being covered from head till toe.
Yeah.
No, and
Yeah.
it's a very deep spiritual meaning. It's not always that you're not allowed to
Yeah.
show your sexuality or your femininity.
Yeah.
Of course, there are many people, you know,
Yeah.
that this is something that we cannot deny.
Yeah.
Besides that, there is a deeper meaning
Definitely.
and a deeper value.
Yeah.
And you gained from it, Neda, that you felt more self-confident
Yeah.
and you discovered more power within.
Yeah, I did. Yes.
So yeah, it's a gift for the world, and I really hope that people who are listening, you know, that they will understand this and that this is a very new and important insight for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so can you share with us how you are using your prayers, your spiritual background in your work?
Oh, that's a very, very good question. The first thing, it helps me stay grounded. It helps me stay humble. That's the one thing. Two, believe in humanity. Even though everything that's happening around the world with prayers, with praying every day, I believe that's the only thing I can do for humanity. And also by helping people. Yeah.
Yes, and how do you help them?
By giving lots of free value content, talking about mental health related stuff. I even have people who can't afford therapy, but they reach out to me. They want advice. I give advice, guidance. Also, I am a Reiki master, so sending out healing energy is what I do. Sometimes I tell people, sometimes I don't even tell them because it's a gift from me to them. And also what I do now is when I feel someone is not okay, I reach out. Yeah.
Yeah, so I recognize what you're saying. Yeah, that is what I believe too, you know. We don't need to be paid for everything.
Exactly.
Because it is also, of course, we need to be paid for services. We
Yes.
have to be there. We are in an earthly situation, and we have
Yeah.
to take care of our own value too, you know, because
Yeah.
that's the beginning of all. And but on the other hand, and the way I deal with it too, you know, in all the things that are happening in the world, you know, it's just to be aware. You are
Yeah.
talking about mental health care. It's just to be aware what I'm thinking and change it into the light, and then send
Yeah.
it out for to everyone who needs it.
Yeah.
All the countries,
Yeah.
you know, what's happening in the Middle East is so very important, and all the countries
Yes.
war it is. And I believe that if we were able to develop ourselves and
Yeah.
discover the light within, then it is something that needs to be
Yeah,
spread all over the world.
definitely.
Even when people don't know it, because I believe that Mother Earth needs the light.
Yeah.
And that's our duty.
Yes.
It's my duty. It's my duty
Yeah.
to spread the light, you know, if I'm
Yeah.
aware of it, just to do it too. And yeah. Hey, and you were talking about that there was a moment in your life that you got a burnout and you got depressed.
Yes.
And was that, what was the, can you tell us something more?
Yeah.
Was that in the fights just to get your degrees, or did it have to do something with your grandmother?
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot when emotions are bottled up, you don't do anything with it, it will manifest into depression. Simple as that. When my grandma passed away in 2008, October 2008, I didn't cry. The second day when I heard she passed away, I wasn't responding. I remember the second day my dad came to me and he holded me tightly and said, your grandma is gone. And he moved me because he was worried that I'm in a shock and I'm not like, God forbid something happens to her. So my dad was panicking because she passed away in Pakistan and I was back then in Netherlands. So I couldn't process it. So he did shake me in that moment very, very forcefully to make me cry and said it loud, out loud a couple of times. She's no more, she's gone, you know? And I did cry. But then at some point, I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna cry anymore because she wouldn't want me to cry. So I didn't grieve properly. I withhold it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and move on with my life. Now, when my grandma passed away, some family members, that's when they got the license to come at me because my grandma used to always protect me. She was always there. And now that she wasn't there, I was being judged for not being myself. Be judged for not knowing what I'm doing with my future, judged for I'm not good enough, judged for I'm a girl, so my voice should be suppressed. And it was the same period of time that I started talking as well. You know, I used to get angry very quickly, and it was like this for up until 2000, I would say 2022.
Okay. So recently, just
Oh
recently.
no, sorry, not 2022, up until 2019,
Okay.
2019. Because in 2008, sorry, 2018, I got diagnosed with depression. Because up until 2018, I used to work. I couldn't use go to the government university, so because there was this lottery system, and for 4 years long, my name didn't come out of that box. So I kept struggling. At the same time, my family members were like, when is your degree coming? When is your degree coming? Are you even graduating? If you're not graduating, just get married. So that pressure was there. So this was just bottling up. And then I had no choice but to go private. And when I went private, the monthly cost of that private university was 700 euros. So now just imagine someone who doesn't have a degree yet has to start paying 700 a month. So I had no choice but to start doing freelance work as well. So I started doing freelance modeling. I did makeup artistry. I did hairstyling, and I picked up on every opportunity that was there. But Jane, by doing so, I was working 7 days a week because I was also working as a freelance medical assistant. So I was making money, I was working hard, but I was not allowing myself to feel my emotions. And then at some point in 2018, I had this breaking point. I was at work and I started crying and I was like, I can't do it anymore. And before reaching that breaking point, I used to have sleepless nights. I used to have flashbacks. I had anger issues. I was restless. I had heart palpitations. So a lot was going on, but I was just ignoring it because I was like, I have to move on. I have to move on. I wasn't allowing myself to feel. Also, being judged by family members that I used to look up to, it shattered me. So in 2018, I did complete my degree and I decided to now focus on different modalities. That's when I got introduced to an academy in London, Hitching, where I did my practitioner's course in hypnotherapy. I didn't tell them that I was struggling with depression. By the time that I got there, I was already diagnosed with depression for already, I think, 9 months. I was already diagnosed. When I came there, I told them what was happening. I didn't tell them, sorry, what was happening, but they did a hypnosis session on me. And in that session, emotions that were bottled up, they start to show up, and I cried. Because I never used to allow myself to cry. So in 2018, that was it where I met met two of my mentors. I did cry. They did a session on me. They asked me what is going on. And then I told them, I'm here for the practitioner's course, but I'm diagnosed with depression. And I have burnout as well because it was hard to get out of bed. The 9 months that I was diagnosed, it was hard to get out of bed. It was hard to even brush your teeth. You don't want to do anything. You just want to be alone in a dark room. It was very hard, but hypnotherapy, that was where I had my breakthrough. And then when they knew that I was doing the practitioner's course, they didn't put it on hold. During the sessions, during the classes that we were having, my mentor was doing one-on-ones with me. He was talking to me, and I felt very safe and secure. And also because I was releasing all these emotions, he kept an eye on me. He made sure that I was okay. Even after completing my practitioner's course, we remained in touch. We kept doing sessions. I got introduced into energy work, healing, Reiki. And yeah, I would say my transformation started after that.
Yeah, it is so important what you're saying. I think that people, it is such a blessing that what you have learned by your own experience,
Yeah.
people don't need to teach you
No.
how your clients feel. It's the same here with me. So I recognize what
Yeah.
you're saying, all the things that we have been going through.
Yeah.
My case, abuse and all this kind of stuff, it is, and we don't need schooling, we don't need education.
No.
No,
And
we don't. You have, by experience, and you know exactly how to help somebody else.
Jane, there were moments, good and bad moments, because I didn't grieve properly, that I was like, I wish my grandma was here.
Yes.
And when I felt that, immediately I used to just make sure that I lock all my emotions, so that I don't start crying. So I never allowed myself to be happy. I
Yeah.
never allowed myself to be sad, because in every moment I used to miss her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand. I understand. Yeah. And your name is Neda, the feminine part, and still, so it will merge. It is a school, it's a pad just to merge into
Yes.
your name. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So, yeah, I think that it is so very clear that your path, all the successes, all your achievements, it didn't come overnight. You had to work for it. You had
Yes.
to go through all your challenges, take all the hurdles and all the things, that came on your path, but you never stopped stepping.
Yeah.
You just continued your path.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at the other side, what is your greatest passion in life?
Ooh. You know, when I have, it's simple, yeah, but I'm going to make it understandable for the audience. You know, when you do a session and it's a successful session and that person smiles, that's my passion, to make sure that as many people as I meet, I can make sure they smile. That smile of finding themselves, the smile of rebirth, of owning yourself, that's what makes me passionate.
That's
Yeah.
beautiful, right? Yeah, I recognize the passion. Yes, it is. And what is something that you still have on your bucket list? That's private, private.
That's actually th that I haven't achieved, you mean?
Yeah, what is something in my case, just to explain it, in my case, I still want to swim again with the whales. I swam with the whales, the humpback whales in the Dominican
Yeah.
Republic, in the ocean. And at that time, I was terrified, but I wasn't terrified. And I just want to do it in the future, not being terrified, but just be, and also see the
Yeah.
Nordic light,
Yeah.
Nordic light. There's that's something on my bucket list that I would like to fulfill.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm a huge fan of Korean dramas. I'm a huge fan of Korean culture. So one thing that I have on my bucket list, and I truly, truly hope it manifests next year, is visiting Seoul, going to Korea. And that's something I definitely want. It's on my bucket list. So yes, that's a big one for me.
Oh yeah, but it will happen. Just focus on it. Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah, beautiful. It's and something else, something smaller.
Something smaller. I have put a target off, but that's business related.
There's a private reason because we want to know more about a private area.
Private. See, privately, I want to buy my first house by myself. That's one of my
Netherlands
goals.
or in the UK?
I'm thinking in UK because Netherlands, I don't know. I'm thinking in the UK, but I want to do that. And another thing is, I want to make sure that I break through to a level that wherever I go, I can help people and people know that they can be helped by me.
And okay, so what is the golden nuggets for the listeners that you would like to leave them with?
If you believe you want something and you truly believe that and it's a desire, don't seek out validation, don't seek out advice, just go for it. And the more disturbance there will be, the more challenges there will be, the more it's confirmed that you're meant to follow that journey.
Thank you so much for that message. It is true. The bigger the challenge, the bigger, the approval of yourself. It is wonderful. And how can people reach you?
So they can contact me through Instagram, which is the handle is Nida Sayed Psychology. That's one way, or they can add me on Facebook, Nida Sayed, and my website is www.luminoustransformationalcoaching.com.
Okay, and of course I will add it when sharing this video on Podbean and on YouTube. Your information will be added. So thank you so much. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're
It's
welcome.
been such a wonderful conversation, such profound
Yes.
and deep insights also for me, And it's thank you so much for being here, Neda. And let's keep on spreading our light and our voice,
Yes.
using our voice and the sound of our voice, and keep on elevating and uplifting the world.
Yes.
I would like to, ladies and gentlemen, as you are used from me, I would like to close with some inspiration. Life is a spiritual journey filled with challenges, hurdles, happiness, joy, suffering, and miracles. The ultimate goal is returning to your true essence of pure divine love. There is no magic button. Don't seek for it. There is no magic button. There is no shortcut. There is no quick fix. The lessons are the doorway to your true essence. Allow yourself to move step by step in your process to progress. And if you do so, this will keep you in the moment and present in your own journey. So stay tuned with us as more remarkable people from all over the world are waiting to share their passion and their life stories and inspiration with you. See you next time.